welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform, but while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I spent way too much money at Katsuhan.
How much stuff did you buy, Dev?
Oh, holy shit.
I believe an hour after you got there, you stopped messaging me with stuff you saw.
Look, there was a lot more that I wanted, but money.
Yeah, that's what always happens at conventions.
But also credit card.
And
but also, I'm going to be picking up a lot of overtime.
And since it's the topic you most want to talk about, Dev, how was your drive back?
And also, it rained the entire time. So at least like 4.5, close to 5 hours of driving.
Okay, so the initial text you sent me was an hour or two after you left then.
I sent it like right as I was packed up, gassed up.
Okay, so it just took you longer to get home than you expected then.
Yeah, like I pulled over at the halfway point at a rest stop to just, you know, chill for a little bit, walk around, wake back up, see if there was
any that makes sense.
Delicious snack.
See, I thought that was partway through because I think when you messaged me, it was like 3.5 hours was what you said.
A straight shot estimate by the GPS.
Oh, okay, makes sense. Okay, and moving on from that, and Dev will rest and get her fluids. But for now, hey, beat break. Episode 19, Black Market Auction.
Which I like an hour and a half before the podcast because I was away all weekend and had shitty Wi-Fi.
We start with getting details about Clay from Maki. Do you like how as she says all these things and she's clearly like a bit upset about it, she also specifies it's rumor? Like she wants to add in that she doesn't quite know, even though she clearly does. And Reyna really jumps into Wong. I gotta say, I think everyone's high point was the face Reyna made.
Yes, just like, yay, money!
And we can tell, they have not gone into Maki that much. They do here, because at first Kyo doesn't want to take the job, but he's willing to once Maki offers to be involved. And they sneak into the egg in, and this time the Digimon are stuffed in the luggage. I will say,
yeah.
I don't know. Does it feel like they're doing two auctions at once feels a bit overcomplicated?
Not necessarily. It does make sense.
But why not have an evil auction while being
distracted by the fancy auction?
What I mean is it's overcomplicated when you bring in the mirror world, when it's completely shut off from anyone and everyone is what I mean. Like, if it was a different floor of the egg, I think it would make sense. I think when you're bringing people, you know, you get the private elevator, the Commandomon, which I was not expecting to see Commandomon. That's a great...
Me either, but I was very happy to see the puppy.
Yeah, you have to get there through that. That's when I think it's more complicated. Also, I don't know why I was surprised because we've seen the design of Commandomon. For some reason, I was surprised when we saw the interior and it was the same as it was in 2020. And I don't know why I'm surprised, because that is like character detail. The one thing I was confused about, so they get in and Clay comes up to introduce himself and Makoto comments, you know, they don't know much about Maki. But it's already clear that, like, she said she could only get in because the government helped her, right?
Yeah, they's like, oh, they gave me this invitation.
But also, Clay's familiar with her, so would he not know? Do you get what I mean?
I have a feeling like they didn't expect to necessarily run into him in person.
I guess, but also, she didn't seem that surprised. I don't know, I feel like I missed something there, which is what I assume
it
happened.
It might be better to, like, on a rewatch or with more context from the next episode.
Then I love the people walking up, giving the kids a key phrase that I don't understand. I'm like, that's a great little thing where, like, now we know how they're going to get in. And Makoto has the pet, and they get to the underground auction. We also get the woman with the mask. I will say, the one thing
I'm also wondering, why did they change into their regular outfits again?
I think the idea was they were going to wander around dressed as waiters, But once they were going into the secret auction, they weren't expecting to be seen at all, so they wanted to be in more comfortable clothes, is what I think happened. I think the expectation was they were going to be wandering around as waiters the whole time. And once it was undercover, that didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it just seemed unnecessary to change their outfits.
Yeah. I have to be honest, I think because he was dressed up, I did not realize the guy following Maki was Naito at first.
Oh, I picked up, like, instantly from the scar.
Well, that's the thing. He has the scar, and it should be recognizable because he was dressed up so differently. At first, I thought it was just a guard. And then the hiding in the dog hair to sneak in. And then, hey, Bomber Nanimon and the Bomber are being sold.
They seem very excited to be bought.
Yeah, I think the idea was they were just, like, so depressed about being in the cages, they were perfectly happy to be bought, I think. Also, this is a bit weird. So, with how much tactics has screwed up, do you think them being security for such an important thing actually makes sense with how much they've been screwing up lately?
No, because at least one of them has eaten shit on every single mission that we, the audience, have seen. I mean, they might have some stuff off-screen where they're not fucking it up.
I like that chat came to the same conclusion we are, and the one message about it is the losers are back. and then, so, we also...
maybe being security was punishment?
Yeah, I guess that can make sense. They have to stand around in the mirror world rather than being up in the nice one, so that actually could be a punishment. Because also, when you're locked into the mirror world, how much can actually go wrong? Wink, wink. And then we get some clarity on some stuff in the last few episodes. They need to sell them as a pair. So Tropmon gets photos. I love Tropmon being the little spy guy. And then Geckomon smells something.
He's having such a good time.
Yeah. And then we get the rows of cages.
Oh, I smell Digimons. Like, yes, you're at an illegal Digimon auction. No shit, Sherlock.
Rows of cages with Digimon and people, and a girl with a Tinkermon. We'll come back to this later. I think we have the same thought on this. Tomuro tries to talk to the girl. Reina also challenges him, pointing out they're not here to save people. They can't really do anything. It's too dangerous. And to Tomuro's credit,
like, we're not in a situation where we can do a jailbreak.
To Tomuro's credit, he kind of stands his ground. And then we get Geckomon trying to lick the girl and make faces. The girl calms down a bit once Tinkermon laughs. They comment Tinkermon's one of the big auction items due to healing abilities and stuff like that. And then the cage goes up, and Geckomon's sticking to the cage and just staring at everyone. Perfect time for an eye catch. Although, again, a Kyo eye catch here does not feel like it works, does it?
No. It's like, but also, like, 3-for-2 deal?
Yeah. And then I like Reina, like, okay, time to frivolous attack. There's no choice. We've been made. Cages are open. People start to rush. Raito jumps out in front of Tomuro. I like that he's upset that Tomuro keeps showing up. And then we get Tomuro.
Yeah, because, like, anytime something goes wrong in his life, it's that little bastard right there.
And I like Tomuro calling out Raito. And literally the only response Raito has is he's following orders. Which is funny because all three members of Tactics constantly are not following orders despite, and this is what you said, I think, the first episode, was they're kind of fucking around constantly despite talking about orders.
Yeah, it's like they're supposed to be like, oh, they're the youngest Tactics team, they're the best, and they're just constantly just going AWOL.
We get some good cameos. The Masked Woman, I love this little callback, the Masked Woman demanding Tropmon. And then I think one of the needed comedy in a very serious episode, Bomber Nanimon rolling in and basically just going kaboom to freak them out and then throwing bombs.
That one was delightful.
And then kind of posing, going, go. And Tactics aren't happy about any of this. Tomuro tries to call Geckomon. Geckomon is distracted and eating. Then we get Tinkermon yelling at Geckomon. Raiko and Ramphomon are already evolved already. Geckomon evolves. And then this is where I really hope they do explain this better than just him standing around. Ramphomon tries to attack Tomuro directly, and Murasamon jumps in right at that moment. And Kyo comments he told the investigator
like,
only.
Kyo just has a second sense of Tomuro just doing dumb shit and needing to not get murdered.
Their timing is immaculate. Their timing is so immaculate, it really feels like, minus the times when Kyo's just not around, that he's actually following them and watching them in case they need help.
I mean, there's a really good fucking chance that's exactly what's going on.
It is, but I would like it clarified at some point, because I like that he's letting them lower the rope for themselves, but still there to watch out for them when he can. It's just funny because every time it's right exactly at that moment, and it's not suggested that he just showed up. They're just sort of there.
And that's why he really did not want them to take this mission, because he's like, God damn it, I don't want to be around one of my old co-workers.
Well, that's
if
well,
they
that,
do this
so,
mission, I'm going to have to fucking follow them.
Well, that's the other thing. We don't know when he left compared to when others got there, as far as the five stars go, I mean. And then Raito starts flipping out, like, rambling that he's better than Tomuro. He starts yelling at Rampomon to evolve. Rampomon comments he's not ready, and he sort of just forces him. Doesn't go smoothly. We get Osdarmon. From this point on, Raito looks a bit ill.
This looks fucking badass.
It does, but Raito looks ill. Osdarmon looks like dark aura around him, and he doesn't seem coherent. Murasamon's doing his best to guard him, although he's clearly having trouble just with how much he's striking. Then he starts rushing to attack Armalizamon. Raito starts to freak out because he's not listening to him, which I'd like that he expects like his orders to be followed, even though he's constantly not listening.
He doesn't have enough gym badges for this.
Yeah. And then Tomuro starts to run to Armalizamon, and he signals Kyo before he fires, has him miss on purpose, reflects the shot back so they can hit him from both sides, and it still gets blocked. That was a cool fucking move to waste on a, like a, I wish they'd, the first time they did that, it had worked. Because that was such a cool double move there.
Yeah, it could fail on the second time. It's like, oh, haha, you think that trick would work twice on me?
Yeah. Then Raito just orders him to beat up Murasamon. He seems to lose it, and he goes after Tinkermon and the girl. Tinkermon blocks the shot. Raito really does not look like he actually looks pretty bad when he realizes how hard Tinkermon was hit. Tinkermon comments, you know, her partner won't have to suffer anymore, and then she vanishes. And it does not appear that she became a Digi-Egg. She be
gone. Nope, just fucking dead. It's gone. Yeah.
Then Osdarmon devolves to Monogemon. He looks like he's going to cry. Raito looks like he's going to punch him. And then Tomuro just slaps the shit out of him. Well, not slap, stops him. My brain went to slap. Tomuro, like, lectures him.
Yeah, I kind of was hoping he would.
I feel like it was more stopping him at the moment. And that's the perfect time for Naito to show up. And then it skips to Naito beating the crap out of Raito. Then Kyo tells Glowing Dawn that, you know, at least all of them are okay. It's a shame what happened. Someone else pointed out that some of the dialogue for tactics suggests they actually caught everyone. That no one actually got away.
Yeah.
Outside of Glowing Dawn. So I guess...
Yeah,
so I,
looks
so
like,
I,
oh, they recovered the merchandise.
Yeah, I believe the idea is Hodoruko and Granite were able to recapture everyone, which is probably why they're not getting the crap beat out of them. Then the news talks about the illegal auction using the clay auction.
They're just chilling by, while Raito gets,
Yeah. And the woman takes the fall. We hear Clay talking about how despicable it all is. I will say, that is a great, like, public face they have him put on. They comment that Maki was the one who actually caught the... Did we know that woman's name? I can't remember.
No.
No,
we did not.
And as Maki
said, it listed in the credits.
Oh, you know what?
Point?
I think it was in the first episode she was in. I think they just never said her name in the episode, so we kind of glanced off it. Then right at the end, Maki comments that she had promised a special bonus, and right as she says that, Clay walks in. So it wasn't clear to me if that's part of the bonus or if that's just coincidental timing.
I think it was just very bad timing.
Yeah, we'll find out next week though, because this is a very solid episode. Really good.
Because even though she even looks a little surprised.
Yeah, I think she was expecting whatever the thing was to show up. And my guess is Clay brought it himself, is what I think is going on. Good setup for next with tactics just keeps being shown that they're, like, shitty. It was overall a very... Yeah. When I say negative, I don't mean bad. I mean, like, the mood was negative, but also a bit slow to show how bad things are. It ties into a lot of prior episodes really well. Very solid. It mostly makes me want to see what comes next, though, in and of itself. Like, this is the episode where we don't know if they'll deal with this in one episode or if this, or if, you know, ramifications for 10 episodes. And I'm excited by that concept. And then...
Yeah. Also, it doesn't make sense to me that they would need to sell the human with the Digimon, because there's plenty of times where there's a Digimon that has no owner whatsoever, and
I believe the idea is that the actual owner's E-Pulse charges them up better. So since they're selling Digimon that theoretically have special skills, like, for example, they point out Tinkermon could heal people. That may work better if they use the owner's E-Pulse. Is the way I took it, is that it's that...
That would work better.
Yeah. It's sort of like if Gekkomon works better with Tomro's E-Pulse, for example. Because Gekkomon's also commented he does take other people's E-Pulse, and there seems to be no, like, real effect, minus just him getting full. Yeah, is the way I took it.
He's taking a nibble.
And then the main thing to talk about, which we skipped over, was the guest star, VTuber Hakio Kiori voiced Yume, who's the girl, and Tinkermon. Now, they advertised her heavily. They talked about it on Monday. They did press all week. She showed up on Terrymon Assistant.
She had three lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The two characters. Yeah,
I have no complaint about her. She did fine. But they did, like, the full court press as if this was, like, an important character. Like, whatever the fuck his name was in Commandramon last week. Like,
But at least he talked more.
Yeah, they treated that as, like, a big deal, and it is possible both of those characters might come back in some form. Here, neither of them talked that much. They kill one. I have no issue with her performance. It just was not worth the press.
It was good. It's just, yeah. For as big of a deal as they made about it, there were, like, three lines said.
Remember when we mused last week on if we were just, like, getting... if we were just
the way through the episode.
Remember last week we mused on if we were just getting, like, the celebrity walk-in?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that turned out to be prophetic.
That's definitely what this felt like.
Yeah. And then next week we get episode 20, Proof of Genius. Interesting preview. I wish we did not know Raito was going to show up. I wish he was just gone for a week or two with no explanation. Because it feels like such
he's getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, it feels like such a wild ending in the episode for him. I wish he was just gone with no explanation for a week or two. Already knowing he's back just feels too much to me, but the episode could easily make it worthwhile. But we will see. And then...
And who knows, he might get as many lines in that episode as Tinkermon did in this episode.
We'll see. And then they did a insert song. Does that feel oddly late to be doing an insert song for Edge of Limit?
Yeah, but...
Have we even properly heard the song since December?
Once or twice?
Instrumental. I don't think we've heard vocal,
like,
though,
late
have
in
we?
In the episode, I mean.
Have we gotten vocal, or was it just instrumental?
I think it might have been instrumental.
Okay. So, the other weird thing is, the music video only includes the first 12 episodes. It feels like this was meant to, like, be, like, during the break. It's a nice music video. It just feels...
Probably there was, like, production delays or something.
Probably. It just feels odd timing, but I think you're right. It feels like it was delayed. Then, to celebrate the English dub, Toei US is doing a giveaway for Beat Break stuff. The instructions are very unclear about certain things, including if countries other than the US are eligible.
Yeah, the instructions were a little vague.
The instructions were like, follow this account on Twitter, link and retweet the giveaway post on Twitter, respond to the giveaway post, and also tag three friends. And they're like, and fill out this form. But then the form is like, you have to sign up on Facebook and Instagram. It's like, is this a different contest, or is this the same? It's very, like, then when you look at the terms and conditions, they don't seem to list countries or anything like they normally. It's very odd. Very
like,
good.
Do you need to do all of these for the ability to potentially win an Otodama? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so the prizes are all stuff from Annabroth / the Toei Online store. You get the LED acrylic stand of Tomoron Gekkomon. You get the Tomoron Gekkomon Otodamas, which they call handballs. You get clear folder, a pouch, and a tote bag. It is a good prize package. It's all a little confusing, though, because even after you said it, I can't tell if these are separate contests or not.
It's like, do you need to do all of these things
yeah.
as considered for a single entry? Because I know there were like contests before where it's just like for like each thing on
yeah.
this list that you did, you essentially
you
got
entry.
Like an additional
yeah, that,
entry.
Yeah, that is how Gleam normally works. Gleam's what they're using for the forum, but it looks like to get an entry, you have to do it. It's confusing. We get the chief animation director corrections for Haruomi and Commandramon from last episode. The Commandramon one is really fucking nice. Then we get a line test of the drive-away scene from the last episode.
That was very fun.
We get a stack of character profile art for Tactics, then the faces of the Tactics characters, then the Tactics Digimon, and then some of the recurring characters. We get the Bomber, the Kinoko game, Bomber Nanimon, and Red Vegimon.
I fucking love these, especially Monodramon's page and him with his Daikon Radish.
Yeah. My favorite's Ludomon, because Ludomon's just been the best of the Tactics characters.
Yeah. Also, I really like having like good turnaround reference artwork, because, hey, fan art and cosplay.
Yeah. Then the March cover date of Animedia, which just came out, has new art of Tomoro, Gekkomon, and Raito, and a short interview with Kenshi Watanabe.
Raito's just not having a good time at all.
To be fair, would you be having a good time if Gekkomon was stealing your chips?
No. Well, I mean, if I got to hug him afterwards, then yes, he can steal my chips.
He will steal your chips, and then the National Center of Incident Readiness and Strategy for Cybersecurity will then tell you about internet security. BeatBreak's doing a collaboration with them with a cybersecurity quiz where you can win a poster. So the poster is boring because it's just the BeatBreak poster but shoved to the side with text on it. But also, am I wrong? Or is this like exactly the type of poster they did for, was it like a fire? It was like a firefighter collaboration right when the show started.
That does sound familiar, but my memory is a sieve.
Yeah. It feels, at the very least, like, also, I didn't notice this until just now. So, Dev, are you on the page that has all the art and everything?
Yes.
Do you have the cybersecurity poster pulled up?
Yes.
Am I wrong? Or is that the pre-release BeatBreak poster where it says it's premiering on October 5th?
Oh my god, it is.
Okay, so yeah, this is a few months out of date. I just noticed that now. But still neat. Don't know what the someone who takes the quiz, tell us what the questions are. I want to know if they're good or not. And then, hey, Liberator, episode 23, part 1, The God. I like starting off with Unchained going, you're so fucking desperate. And Shoto's like, yes, we are. And we get that nice image of everyone.
Yeah.
We get a solid moment of them.
I love Unchained being unhinged.
It's yeah, great. I like how they're not just being unhinged, they're being very argumentative now. And then we get like the moment where someone's like,
I'm just trying to save the world and Digimon and everything.
And then we get the moment that is both
being a bitch about it.
It's very funny and also very hokey, but I love it. When I don't remember if it's Shoto or Owen, I think it's Shoto, who's like, if this is the end of Digimon Liberator, it should end with cards. And that's when the audience stops to clap.
Yeah.
I like showing when they clarify that the rules for this are different because it's 2-on-1. They show the little like RPG character path map.
Oh yeah, the turn order.
Yeah, I love that. And then as it's going, the number of times in this comic someone cheats and the somehow automated rules don't stop them feels weird. But I love that then everyone is jumping into the match against Unchained, even if it makes no sense. And like they said, everyone was going to, but like at this point, I don't know if there's actually a coherent card game anymore.
It's like, screw the rules, I have cool-looking shit and special effects and friendship.
Well, that's the funny thing, is like, everyone agrees Unchained definitely cheated. But also, we have like 10 other characters jumping into a 2-versus-1 match. And they just treat that like that's the rules, which is just funny to me because I don't know how much of the game at this point is the real card game. And everyone being involved is fun. It feels like they want it to be the Apocalypse battle, doesn't it?
Yeah, where everyone is like firing all their lasers.
And I will say the cliffhanger I thought was flat. The cliffhanger being Unchained evolves her card deck to have X McQueenamon. That feels like a flat cliffhanger because they've done that as a cliffhanger. X McQueenamon just show up. That was like just a chapter or two ago.
Yeah.
Even if it's new for the card game.
And also, it's definitely not the first time that random cards have just materialized. It's happened a lot.
It's happened in this match. Because how many of the novel and comic characters jumped in with their Digimon fully evolved? And we had not seen any of that card family up to that point. I'm not saying I dislike it. I think it's cool. I kind of wish that, like, it feels like this is, like, the big last thing. It would have been cool if it was an actual card match. And then...
Yeah.
Dev, did you look up the Xbox Excellence Awards?
Not at all, because
oh, man.
I worked at a GameStop for a very long time, so
Dev,
I want nothing to do with Xbox bullshit ever again.
Dev, this is the fakest sounding awards ever. First off, I should point out, this is only the second year they've done this. Are you ready for what the awards are? There are four categories. Sure. Store rating, the highest rated content across the Xbox stores released in 2025 with a minimum of 500 ratings. Player engagement, the games with the highest average hours per player within the first 6 weeks of release. Daily active users, games, expansions, or major updates with the highest single-day active users in 2025. This can include games not released in 2025 if they had a major update. And top-selling content across Xbox and Microsoft stores. Digimon Story Time Changer got store rating and player engagement, and is also relevant. They do not tell you what place it's in or how it was decided, just that it was one of the 20 selected. When I was looking up what these awards were, you know
that's
what it sounded like?
Stupid.
You know what it sounded like to me, Dev? Xbox wasn't being mentioned in enough awards. They made their own where they could give away 80 awards at once and just be like, clap, clap, clap.
Look, we're still relevant.
I mean, look, it is never bad to get... an award for a game. It's good press, regardless. But these look like terrible fucking awards. Like,
these look just like Steam achievements.
You basically, yes. It's like Steam achievements, but less relevant because it's Xbox at this point. And I say that with my Xbox somewhere collecting dust. I don't even remember if I've seen it since I've moved.
And it hasn't been missed.
Yeah. I expect the Switch release to be much more relevant than the Xbox One. And then a few episodes of Terrymon Assistant Lab. First up, Terrymon Assistant and the lab staff are given the chance to come up with various Digimon-themed parties groups based on specific guidelines. Some of the guidelines are Digimon idol groups, sports teams, who you'd want to spend your final day with. Oh, and in the chat...
morbid at all.
And in the chat, they point out, Time Strange is a successful game. The award is a nothing burger. It has, like, no bearing on Time Strange at all. Time Strange is doing well. It's more that, like, it got an award, so ignoring it seems wrong. But it also feels almost demeaning to the game to even bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, so going back to Terrymon...
Like, look, the teacher gave me a gold star!
Don't worry, that actually happens. Terrymon asked the audience to make their own Digimon idol group and post it to the video. Although I think that's more exciting than the Xbox thing. So you know how, and I think we've both brought up with different things, how various Beat Break promotion feels like it's out of sync with what's happening. Like the song feels like we were supposed to get that a month ago, that music video, right?
Yeah, because... That's when it initially aired, and that was the episodes used in the mini music video kind of thing going on.
So last week, we got the announcement of Hakio Kiori being in Beatbreak early enough that we talked about in the last episode last Monday, correct?
Yes.
Like, they had started the full court press, they'd announced her playing both characters, so forth. Tuesday, they put up a new episode of Terrymon Assistant Lab, which has her on it, and she does a quiz with Terrymon, which is fun. And then at the end, they wrap up that, like, she says they have an announcement, she has an announcement, but they don't actually say what it is. They just, like, she just goes, oh, she'll be in an episode of Beat Break. But then she kind of goes, like, let's wait for the episode to talk about who I'm going to play. But they already had announced.
Yes. How long ago was this?
It feels like this was supposed to air the week before, which I don't think there was a Terrymon episode that week. So I'm wondering if they decided to push back the episode until they announce it. But then what they actually talk about does not quite fit. But it's not a huge deal. It's just worth bringing up because it's a bit odd. And then
the timing.
And then weirdly, there's another Terrymon Assistant episode that is actually blocked outside of Japan. It's him watching the Gekkomon Evolution clip. That one is blocked outside of Japan.
Why the
I don't know. And chat points it out. The week before, when the last episode went up, they'd put up the Azardamon profile on Digimon Web for like 5 minutes early, where I think the hiatus got them confused. Which is a bit odd, but whatever. But yeah, it's weird. It does feel like we're going to put this episode up before they announced anything. In fact, if they'd put it up a day earlier, it would have been fine. And then, Dev, let's both get a sip of water as Cardpocalypse begins.
Oh, when will it end? I mean,
okay,
pretty
so,
artwork, but also...
Okay, so we get reprints of Dynasmon, Lord Nightmon, and Dukemon. Nothing exciting to talk about there.
Cool, we've seen it.
We get reprints of Gurumon and Gamamon plus gold borders. I still like that Gamamon card.
I still love it.
Yeah, it's such a nice card.
Yes.
Another Gamamon reprint, a Battle Gamamon reprint, and a really good Seriousmon reprint. I love the Seriousmon card still. I think we both liked this one originally.
Especially if mine was like the way it like breaks out of the border.
Yeah. Reprints of Agumon, GeoGreymon, and Rise Greymon X. Reprints of GGmon and Gromon. Reprints of Agumon and GeoGreymon. That Agumon art's nice. That's, that looks... Huh. My brain, like, short-circuited, because it looks like the one from Redigitize a bit, but he has the, the one from Redigitize didn't have the Saver's armbands, did it? I don't think he did.
No.
You see what I mean?
Actually, like, the head shape makes me think of the one from the adventure movie, like the first one.
I thought that too. He doesn't seem big enough though.
Yeah, but like the head shape and like the way the eyes are, it kind of like gave me that vibe.
And then for a new card, Megalogromon with new Tamer style anime art. I believe this is supposed to be the evolution sequence, which is funny because that's CGI. I need to pull up movie 5 because movie 5 has the evolution sequence in 2D, and I wonder if this is a redraw of a frame from that. Then also new is a Dukemon card. So we get Dukemon and, you know, the energy inner floating Takato in the style of Tamers. And parallel card. Okay, first off, I love the, like, really nice art of Dukemon. I love the it isn't quite detailed Megidramon behind him.
It's like a giant horrifying skeleton energy.
It's so good. Reprint of Omega Shoutmon. Reprint of Agumon and Shine Greymon. That's a very nice Shine Greymon, to be fair. But alas, we've seen him.
Yeah.
Reprints of Koromon and Pukamon. The Pukamon's very nice. Reprints of Dorimon and Dorimon.
I still love the little angry Dorimon.
That's a good one. That reprints of Hexablaumon, Lucimon, Follumon. I love the Hexablaumon. Like, I know it's a reprint, and it's not super exciting. It's just such good art.
He also looks like he's ice skating, kind of.
Ice skating and or being in a photo to be photographed and redrawn into a Gundam.
This is true.
Gromon X and Rise Greymon reprints. And then there was a card event this weekend, which means they went batshit crazy. Are you ready for the previews, Dev? Omekamon. That is great art.
No more.
The Omegamon is a reprint. Still great art. Omegamon X is also a reprint. Aldemon and Beowulfmon both get new anime-style art. I love that, how it's the, like, the pseudo-evolution scenes. You know, I didn't realize looking at this before, I like the touch that it's the original Digivices. Because they still had those when they evolved into them for the first time. Rather than the upgraded one. Then, for some reason I thought it was...
Instead of, like, the 2.0s.
Yeah. Then, parallel art for Aldemon and Beowulfmon. I like these, how they're, like, not quite the model kit box art style we like. They're a bit more cartoony, and, like if you look at Aldemon's head, it's almost stylized.
It looks like the art that should be on a package of miniatures.
Miniatures, or, if you were to go into a Toys R Us or KB Toys in 2002 looking for Digimon Frontier toys, this would be the art they would have in the corner of the toy box that would have, like, the cutout around it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Then Omegamon gets a new card.
And I would cut it out and shove it into a little box.
Omegamon gets a new card, which is clearly based on the evolution scene from our war game. And then the...
I love the line art color.
I do, too. The parallel art is a new card, but we've seen the art before because it is the key art for Booster Set AD01. Then more AD01, we got Dynasmon and Rotonightmon. So what's interesting here is they are anime-style art. They don't quite look like any specific anime. They kind of look Frontier-ish, but like the styling coloring does not look very Frontier-ish to me.
Yeah, the shadows are a lot more... like just solid black blocks.
Yeah. I like what they've done. If you don't look too close, you'd say Frontier, I think. But yeah, very nice art.
Better savers.
Then we got previews from Starter Decks 23 and 24. So from 23 we get Tomoro and Kyo, which good show cell art.
Nice.
Cougarmon, who's playing with a Leomon. I love how Cougarmon looks confused. Like he's looking at Leomon, he's like, look at this little shit.
But also you can kind of interpret it as like two cats accidentally startling each other and then just freaking out.
Exactly. Then really nice art for Murasimon. Weirdly, I feel like Koki's being too subdued with the Murasimon one.
He kind of made him like softer instead of like super shredded.
Yeah. Then from Starter Deck 24, which is based on Saber's Day Score, we had Yoshino and Ikuto. Yoshino's in her uniform. What's weird is...
Ikuto's just being feral, as usual.
What's weird is, am I wrong? Is this some of the nicest Savers art we've gotten in years?
It is.
Like, we've gotten a lot
these
of...
These two don't get enough love.
Yeah, it might just be because we've gotten so much of Masaru lately in various cards that seeing, like, really nice art of not the first and second choice just is kind of refreshing. Also, since 99% of the art we get of Yoshino is her with the casual clothes, so seeing the uniform's nice. See, I was checking, does it feel, the one thing that would have been cooler is if Yoshino was, or not Yoshino, it was if Ikuto was holding his boomerang.
Yeah, but it's just behind him, and he just has his arm randomly extended.
Yeah, then we get Lalamon flying through a cherry tree. That's a gorgeous card. And
yeah, haha, you found me!
That's exactly the reaction I had when I was putting this up. It's like, because, you know, sometimes I will write little jokes in the profiles when I write them up. Yeah. I decided not to do this time because I'm like, it's been such a long time since we've had good Lalamon art. I decided not to, like, mock it. But, like, the face and everything really does feel like that.
Absolutely.
And then Sunflamon gets a nice, fun card of it running through a field. Then from Booster Set 25, we get Blacktailmon. I think this is the scenery under Central Town in Time Stranger. Or is this the Black Tailmon that you're chasing in Shinjuku? It's one of those it's one of those underground scenes from Time Stranger, but I'm not sure which one. The more I look at it, the more I think it's the one under Shinjuku.
Honestly, what initially came to mind for me is the innocent face my cat makes after she has pushed something off of the top bunk and hit me on the head with it.
And then we get a dual card of Bellstarmon and Fly Bullet. I think this is only
really fucking badass.
It is. I think it's only the second dual card we've gotten. someone else has pointed out it's probably the Black Tailmon in Shinjuku, since it's next to the Bellstarmon, so it's probably meant to be a very specific one from the game. So the art is very good for the Bellstarmon card. I will say, and I think you've probably already thought of it, the dual cards are going to be more upsetting as far as things covering up the art.
Yeah.
Because you realize if you look up to where stuff is on this one, it is over half, it is like half the card is covered by text. But shame.
It's unfortunate.
Then we have all the previews from Bushiset EX11 that is out. We also have various recent promo cards, which is nice. We did previews of all of them as they were ongoing. And then tied into the event, they also announced, so we got the package art for EX12 Digital World Shambhala. It is very, very nice art of Suzanumon. Am I wrong, or is he wider in this arc than he normally is?
Yes. Yes. I think it's especially just because of, like, also the angles he's at.
Yeah.
Also, he's kind of, like, crouched down slightly with his knees bent.
Yeah, it feels like he's doing, like, a sumo pose, sort of. And we also get preview art of Erlangmon, Amaterasumon, and Siriusmon. Siriusmon really feels like an Ultraman pose, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's a cool one.
It is, but I will say, out of these three pieces of art, I think Amaterasumon's the coolest.
It's the coolest pose, but I also like the color combination of the first one.
So that's what's interesting. When I look at the Erlangmon art and the Amaterasumon art, I wonder if these are both parallel cards. Where, you know, like the special ones where they'd be like foil. Because, like, the art style is similar, and I could imagine having, like, half a dozen of these.
That would make sense. And I can see parts of it that would be really cool if they were, like, spot holo foil.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wonder if that's what's going on there. Then, boosts at 26 Timeless Bonds. We get our first preview for that. We get Jupitermon, Chronomon Holy Mode, Bloom Lordmon, and Ravemon. That's someone we don't see a lot of.
No. Especially the chicken.
But I will say, out of these four pieces of art, I think the coolest one's probably Bloom Lordmon.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
where we get like the cool like flower rounds and everything.
The other ones.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, like the prismatic petals and everything.
I really hope that is like a hollow prismatic type one. And then we get the reveal of the theme for EX13, the Chivalrous 13. The one piece of art we have has UL-Force Vidramon, Rina, and Slightmon on it.
This would be a really good set for a secondary theme of V-Tamer.
I feel like if they're showing Reina or Rina, it's not going to be V-Tamer's secondary set. It's going to be Cyber Sleuth. It feels like the theme is the Knights, and then like Cyber Sleuth's going to be a secondary theme, because someone pointed out this is actually a specific scene from, like, I think Hacker's, I don't know if it was Cyber Sleuth or Hacker's Memory, but this is like a specific scene they're showing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, I don't, like the DLC and everything, they would throw in like, oh, hey, here's Parallelmon and some other villainous ones from other series. Yippee.
God, I can't believe I'm going to be, like, here's the thing. It's realistically going to be out next month, and I guarantee you, I'm going to be like, yeah, we know it's Parallelmon again, but are they going to do something interesting with him? No.
No!
So then, since they had Bandai Card Games Fest this weekend in Vegas, they had producer Murata flew out from Japan, did signings, did a panel, which was nice. And then Card Battle had them open packs, and God bless them, they skipped this episode for English and just did the Yuki News Corner. It's depressing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they announced a new wave of Digimon Beatbreak products, Mochocho! They get cute little SD art. Okay, Dev, so out of all eight characters, who do you think gets the best SD art here? I know what my answer is. You go first, though.
It's Reina.
So I'm going to say it's Murasumon. Because, like, look at his head.
He's just standing there.
I like the design.
I really like Reina's expression.
It's a good one. I just liked how Murasumon looks enough that I give it to him this time. Interesting.
Also, Christymon looks like she's halfway into being a Gretsuko.
I feel like Chiropmon doesn't work as well in this one because it's not recognizable that it's in like a special style.
Yeah, it's just the eye. It's because of his eyes.
Yeah. So these are all for pre-order. Star-shaped can badges, keychains, stands, stickers, clear pouches. Have we seen leather badges before?
Not that I recall.
It's at least rare enough that we're not sure. Acrylic blocks, pass cases, clips for your bangs, and round coin cases. I want to see one of the round coin cases because it reminds me of when you were younger, did you have one of those plastic oval ones?
Yeah, well, I didn't specifically, but my grandmother did.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about, though, where it's like rubber and you squeezed it for the middle.
Yeah, it has like a little split in it and it's just...
Yeah.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah, I remember that.
It always got gross and you could hardly wash them.
Yeah, what's funny is this does not appear to be that because I can see a zipper. So we'll see some interesting stuff there. I like that at least some of it's different, which kind of is an issue we have with a lot of the products is where it's can badges, stands, blah, 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 blah. And then Annabirth Ikebukuro is closing when February ends. And it'll reopen at the end of March in the same building, but on the sixth floor, they're just moving. So if you're visiting in March, sorry, but go to the other Annabirth. And then a couple hours before we were set to record, they decided they had to start throwing up news. Now, I don't think you were home yet, Dev, so I don't think you saw all this. They just start throwing shit up. So are you ready?
I literally just saw about 30 seconds ago.
Okay, so first up, they're starting to put up pre-orders, and they revealed images of Figurized Standard Amplified Magnagurum on the model kit. So first up, it comes with the pieces, so it can transform between both modes. Then it comes, it can combine with the Kaiser Greymon kit and pieces that come with Magnagurumon to make Susanumon and Zero Arms Orochi.
Damn. All out for that.
Don't you feel bad for all the people who have to buy each kit twice?
No. No, I don't.
But yeah, the Susanumon looks really cool, I think. I feel a little bad because I feel like the Susanumon looks much better than the Magnagurumon. So that will be out.
I mean, Magnagurumon just doesn't look that great as a design to begin with.
Yeah. They put in a lot of effort to make sure he could transform. Which is basically just throwing off the backpack.
Yeah.
I like the design personally, but yeah, it's not the most dynamic. It will be out August for 6,600 yen. And then a bit of a surprise because we thought this was going to be like a China first product because they mentioned it in the Bandai thing last week. So I'm wondering if that was just a mistake. The first series of Digimon Gathering, which we thought these were minifigures, they're model kits.
Oh.
So 1,650 yen for a blind box model kit. Seven. So we only knew four of these because they did not show three of them in the picture before. We knew Agumon, Piyomon, Tentomon, and Tailmon, but there are also ones for Gekkomon, Prestimon, and Tropmon. They all look really neat. I feel like the one that looks worst is the one I was looking forward to the most once I saw the thumbnail, which was Prestimon. Prestimon suffers from plastic face. And I know some people are going to go, they're all plastic, but I mean, like, the face does not have, like, the person that it's a bit too flat.
Also, it feels like these aren't photos of the actual figure. It looks like these are renders.
That's what I thought, and I still think this, but some of them have some weird shading where, like, if you look at Tentomon, it's a render, but the shading makes me go, it might be styled to look like the real figure. Or the real kit, so it's a bit hard for me to tell. I need to see actual photos of these because Prestimon's face feels disappointing.
Like, yeah, I think this is still in like as a render. Just because,
I think
like,
it
around,
is
like the edge of the ears and everything.
Yeah, I agree. It's just Prestimon's face disappoints me on this one. But we will see what they actually look like when we get actual images. So out of these seven, which do you think do you want the most and which do you want the least, ignoring that we know we're looking at renders?
I want Chiropmon and Gekkomon the most. Because they're nice, they're fun and dynamic. Tentomon, like I appreciate that he's getting a figure. Tentomon, but Tentomon feels just kind of eh.
Yeah, Tentomon feels like a figure we've seen before.
Yeah, he feels like he's just he's not really doing anything. Everyone else is like getting in on the action. He's just his left claw is slightly lifted.
So mine, if we see the 3D and it looks better, I'd say Pristimon's the one I'm looking forward to the most. The one I'm looking forward to the least is actually Tropmon. I need to see a full round of Tropmon because it's a bit boring from the one angle we have. Like, Tropmon does such cool shit in the show that this feels a bit boring to me. I need to see, like, the rest of it.
Yeah, since they're all action-y, I kind of would have liked Tropmon, like, with his jaws unhinged.
Yeah, doing, teeth. I can't remember the name of the attack.
Paralyze Echo or something?
Yeah, I would have liked to see that. Yeah, so pre-orders for these should be opening up shortly. And then, new poll has opened up. Favorite anniversary social media art from 2025. There's a lot of choices here. What's interesting is I know which one I think is the best piece of art. I don't think it's the best celebration art. And I don't know if it would rank high or low. So, like, I feel the best piece of art...
So aren't some of these, like, reposts, basically?
Yeah, a couple of these are cheat. I think only one of these is a cheat. The Lost Evolution one was, like, the June art, I think.
Yeah.
So, I think the best art, I'm not sure it could rank well, the one that I think is the best piece of art is the one for Hurricane Touchdown. The Terrymon with the egg.
Oh, okay. I was missing that entire...
Yeah, I think that is the best one. I'm not sure it's necessarily good, like, cool celebration art. I personally like the War Game art a lot. I don't know if that's a winner. I think I know which one I would actually pick to win is the coolest one, and it would probably be the biggest surprise for me to say this one. Which do you think, Dev? Which do you think would be the coolest?
Like, which do I personally think would be the coolest, or what do I think you think would be the coolest?
What do you think I would say would be the coolest, knowing that I'm picking something that would feels horribly out of character for me?
I want to say it's the 02 one with all the little...
No. I actually like that one, but that's not the one that I think is the coolest. The coolest one, I think, is actually the one for World X/4.
Oh, okay.
Where we get Clavis and we get the four of them with the weapons from the game. That is a horrible fucking game. I think the art's really cool, though.
Yeah.
As for what I think will win...
The art's better than the game.
It is. As for what I think will win... I feel like it will be Cyber Sleuth or X Evolution will win. I admit the one that I want to win would be the Cross Wars anniversary art.
I mean, I really love that one, but my personal favorite is the Digimon World 2 artwork, just because I love seeing the Digibeetles so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of good choices for this one. Yeah, we'll see. This is one where it's wide open.
Yeah, it's not like the last poll where it's like, okay, we can definitely tell the top three from here and we can tell which one is absolutely eating shit.
Yeah. And then from the Weekend Potpourri, first up, we get reference book update for Azhardamon. That is very good art.
Cool, badass dinosaur fucking thing.
Yeah. Then the Toei Animation Museum posted an update noting the museum's covered in snow, and they asked people to be mindful of the cold conditions that they enjoy the snowy museum, and they showed a photo of the Agumon statue covered in snow.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah. Then Yumi Miyazaki posted photos. He was in Vienna, Austria to perform at Kokorokan, and he was able to make his way to Salzburg to immerse himself in the world of the film The Sound of Music. So he got to do a fun little tourist thing while he was there. Do you like the photo of him with the giant, Playmobil?
Lego thing.
Yeah. And he looks really happy to be there.
Look, he's been working a lot.
He's been running around
tours absolutely fucking everywhere. Like, pretty much every single week we have the potpourri, he's sending pictures of
everything
somewhere else around the entire goddamn planet.
Yeah. Then director Kakuno went to the O2 25th exhibition the day before it closed because it So officially closed now. He went back right before close, took some photos. He noted he was happy how busy it actually was. And I believe they announced they're going
to... That makes sense.
I believe the Anime Tokyo Station where it's being held announced they were going to do a video walkthrough and everything. I don't know if that's posted yet, but we'll find it if so. Then, an update from Card Battle. Chiba posted a photo of him with some of the hosts and staff the final day of recording for their filming lead, Maru-chan. Chiba noted he was always grateful for his patient, detailed instructions, thanked him for supporting the Digimon card game behind the scenes, and he finished off his post with a quote. It's very... What he posted was very funny. Palmon, goodbye. Thank you so much. Goodbye, Maru-chan. Ah. And then a bit of butterfly lyrics with a music emoji and a hat emoji.
Ah, for Mimi.
Yeah, that was the funniest.
That's fucking adorable.
Chiba's posts are always great. Then some various photos from Card Game Fest. One of the interesting things there is the Alisson demo is completely different from the demo they've been showing off for the past half year, seemingly taking into account all the feedback and stuff. And they had a corner of, like, you know, Digimon games and toys and stuff like that. Producer Murata got a photo taken of riding on the Garurumon that was from the Tokyo Game Show, which they brought to the event. Yeah.
I want to steal it.
Card game art was Violet and Yuki, and they point out they have to settle who's number one. The attachment was Violet or Yuki. They need to know who definitely is more popular. It's now or never. And then there was a note attached to the post saying there is no popularity poll planned. like clarifying, this is a joke. There is no poll. Then Liberator art from Usagi Bochi and Tomo 01. They both drew their little version representing the battle. They're both very neat. I think I like the Tomo 01 one more with, like, the face-off. Mm. Although I will say, looking at this art, does that not really look like Owen? Like, like Unchained the bottom left showed us at the top. The right side, does that really look like Owen? The other one. I'm not sure that looks like
not
Owen to me.
Not really. I think that's just because of, like, the way,
the two-tone
is flying everywhere because he's like...
Yeah, I think you're right. Then Beat Break...
He just looks like a little shit.
Beat Break art from the episode. Character designer, poster art of Yumein Tinkermon. Hakio Koyori, who played Yumein Tinkermon, posted how, she was happy to do it. It was an honor. She was given an illustration when she was at the recording studio. I don't think it says who drew it, but it's art of her. Very nice art. Akimini Aki posted Tomro in his disguise. He only had this for like 1 minute, right?
Yeah.
And then Super...
It was very snazzy.
Super Misurino worked on the episode. They did a bit of art of the scene they helped draw, which was Gekkomon hanging on the cage.
I love how Gekkomon's just drooling obsessively.
Does it feel like he's getting dumber as the show goes on?
Yeah. But also, he's discovering more and more foods that he likes.
Yeah.
So.
Very neat art. And then for Valentine's Day, we got art of Bellstarmon shooting chocolate versions of her bullets. And the message says, Happy Valentine's Day, Bellstarmon showers you with plenty of chocolates. So, very nice art, very high resolution. And then the surprise was Kagemaru Himino said that she was in charge of the illustration, except the chucks from Bellstarmon. If I remember right, I believe she designed Bellstarmon X. I think.
Huh.
Yeah, so a neat little one. And then it is time for you guys to throw up questions. As we do the question of Sinatum, someone asked, would a Digimon fighting game work nowadays? Yes, although I think, generally speaking, they've probably been smart to go to the party games. Because I think if you're going to do, like, a serious Digimon fighting game, there's too many Digimon that you'd have to prioritize that would then upset people. If it's a party game, it's a bit easier to accept that the roster isn't what you want. Although it does feel like...
But also they can't make a good Digimon fighting game to save their fucking lives.
No. And Chad asked, that was designed by one. Remember, Watanabe designed Bellstarmon. X was designed by her, and I think that she is indeed a woman. But also, if I remember right, Bellstarmon X is one of the more subtle X evolution designs. Like, they just add a few points, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, we know Osmaria was not in charge of that particular
design. There aren't enough spikes. But yeah, as for Digimon fighting games, I feel like we'll get a serious one at some point. It's just a matter of how to handle the roster and the mechanics, I think.
And the controls.
Yeah. Digander asked, is there any merchandise successes you want to be made for Digimon? Just more.
Yes.
Like, objectively. I think me and Dev are in the camp of, we want the stuff we want, but we're happy when there's just more and people are happy to see it. As for stuff we specifically
also,
want...
Also, give me more of my niche favorite Digimon.
The ones that...
I don't care if I'm the only one that's buying it. I want it.
I think we all kind of fall into that vein of, we want the specific stuff, we also know why not. Like, there's a lot of good Digimon that could get niche stuff, but what is the stuff we want? Do you remember when they did that poll?
Give me Tactics Otodamas.
I feel like that's almost a for sure, don't you think so?
I fucking hope so. I want a Monodramon.
So in chat, they say, I'm surprised there's a lot for Beat Break. So here's the thing with Beat Break. They've done the public thing, which happens constantly, of going, we're not making the show for products this time. Wink, wink. Which, like, that has little meaning, because, like, if you go back to, say, 2020, Dev, how many products would you say were central to Digimon Adventure 2020? Like, we got the show...
Like, the figures and like, the Digivices.
Well, that's the thing. We got the Shoto candy figures, which were kind of like basic nothings. Were neat, but... And then the Digivice was like a pre-order-only thing online. It wasn't like a toy-forward show. And then if you go to Ghost Game, the Vital Bracelet was four, but that was already like a year-and-a-half-old product at that point. And like, we got
They just kind of a...
And then we got, like, the Otodamas. We got, like, pre-order-only toys. They weren't toy-forward shows. They haven't been toy-forward shows in a while. Saying this is meant to, like, please the older viewer. And then they're still doing the same products we see, like, all the time. Like...
Yeah, like pop-up shop stuff.
Yeah, like, the stuff that we're getting for Beat Break is functionally the same that we've gotten for the last few years. Minus that we have not gotten any sort of Sapotama toy. That is the only real difference. So, yeah, it does feel a bit surprising that there's so much when they acted like it was not going to be product forward. But that's also something you say to please older fans, even though it is a show that is airing at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. That's what we call very good bullshitting.
Basically, also, please give us more Geckomon plushies.
Yeah, I think that's the only
thing. Make the life-size Geckomon plushie. Just put that into production. We will fucking buy it.
Yeah, giant Geckomon is the only thing we're really missing.
Look, it will make everyone happy, and then you don't have to basically play keep away with the official promotional one from the two voice actresses who are definitely going to Mission Impossible try and get that.
I think they already have. And then someone asked, when Digimon Ghost Game ended, we had a few years of various media, and we've talked about how that works. If we don't get a new anime immediately after Beat Break, what would we like to see more of? They said they know we've discussed what they could do. They mean what we personally want. I feel like we both fall into the vein of doing more comics. Those were like some of the most dynamic and cool stories we've gotten in a while.
I love the Digimon the comic series.
Yeah. My only preference to a change is instead of doing like throwing four or five at us every 3 months, maybe say like they're going to do four comics over a year. Each one will get a release monthly. Each one gets a chapter every 3 months. So we get something new every month, but they rotate. So they still only end up with four. I think that would work much better to me.
And it gets each of them a little bit more time, like, in the spotlight instead of essentially competing with each other.
Especially since they didn't always announce ahead of time when the comic would come out. So sometimes it'd be, like, 3 days before, and it'd be like, you're getting four new comics in 48 hours. So, yeah. Let's see. Next up, someone said, if the Digimon Beat Break dub also cast a VTuber from the characters for the new episode, what VTubers that we watch do we think would be good for the roles? I actually discussed this with Milo last night. So,
I do not know any specifically Japanese-only VTubers, so I am not someone that should be asked.
Oh, do you think they would cast the Japanese ones for the dub? I figured they. I thought this meant. I thought this meant English VTubers. Like if the English dub also.
I thought they would.
Because it says if the English Beat Break dub also cast the VTuber for the characters from the new episodes. I assume they mean if they cast VTubers to play, whoever she played, like English VTubers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I was misreading.
Okay, so that, my choice is simple. The duo get Cecilia Evergreen to play whatever the girl's name is, and get Gigi Murin to play Tinkermon. That is my choice. Okay, the one thing I'm confused with, and it's come up in multiple places, why do people think getting the VTubers is super expensive? It's not. That's why there's so many VTuber collaborations. Like, that is why, like, VTuber... Like, unless you are trying to get, like, A-list VTuber to sing a song, it's, like, it's not low budget, but, like, especially for marketing stuff, the VTuber agencies will make it happen. Because they want their people to show up and stuff. So budget, like, whether we're talking
also
fictional...
for the most part, VTubers are, like, getting subs and shit over a stream.
Yeah. Like, it is not as high budget as people think. Like, we're talking, like, C-list budget, not, like, A-list. That has nothing to do with the talent. That has to do with just the reality of what it is. But, yeah, I'd say Cecilia and Gigi Murin. Let's see. Next question was... someone was a fan of Digimon when they were younger. They lapsed. They grew up. They've been seeing it again. They know what Digimon they want to watch. What other long anime franchises are worth it for a Digimon fan coming back in? Whatever looks like interesting to you. Honestly, like I fall in that vein of.
It depends, like, what genre you're into.
Yeah, I assume they mean like what works if they like Digimon. Like I'm very much someone who thinks like if something looks neat to you. Just go and get it. You like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't think of anything specifically. Like, it's
go watch Lupin the Third.
It's a matter of taste.
Yeah, like taste is wildly different. Like me and Dev will talk to each other about shows that like we both like, we both hate. One of us likes, one of us hates, and we'll talk about just for like the amusement of talking about it. And like, yeah, but yeah, Lupin's always a good choice just because it's long.
Nanoha series is good.
Yeah,
that's kind of long-ish.
That's a good one-ish. Yeah, I think Lupin and Nanoha are good places to start. Last chance in chat for questions. Someone asked, what X-Antibody Digimon do you want to see in a Digimon anime?
I really want to see the Gilmon X line. But also Impmon X, just because...
So Ixmon X is so fucking funny to me because I watched that entire franchise before Impmon X was a thing. So the very instant they introduced Impmon X, I'm just like, oh, they're not even hiding what the inspiration for this is.
No, not at all. And I would love to see it.
Like, it is literally just Rika from Chunibru, yo. Like... no hiding, no, like, it's just amazing how much they put, okay, oh, and they specify outside of the movie. Okay, you know what? It's not a specific X-Antibody Digimon. It's a specific thing I would like to see happen. Where, like, someone's getting beaten, and instead of evolving like normal, they X-evolve. Like, completely surprise, like, that they have another form.
Now, even better... if they're, like, a small, slightly smaller than whatever their enemy is, and they shift to X form, and they just basically become covered in spikes, and the enemy has to drop them because they're suddenly so spiky. They become a pincushion.
Now, do you think you'd get a new design from Asmir for that, or an existing Digimon X form?
You know what? Do a new one, just... so he has something fun to add spikes to. He needs enrichment in his enclosure.
Then someone said, do you think it's a negative thing that Time Stranger wasn't mentioned on the State of Play with all the big announcements it had? So I guess the first thing is like, I don't know what they would announce. Because like, they're not... they've waited to announce the DLC until a couple weeks before release because they only have so much to talk about. But also like, the game's out. Outside of the DLC, the last DLC, they don't have anything else to talk about until July when the Switch stuff comes out. Doing something now would, like, not be worth it for Time Stranger because it's been out for months at this point. So I don't see that as a bad thing. I think it's a smart thing that they aren't trying to just, like, push it.
Shove it in your face every 5 seconds.
Yeah, like, if they were to announce it here, what would they actually announce? That a week ago they announced that there'd be a 1080p 60 frame mode for a game that came out like 4 months ago? They already announced it, is the thing. Now, that being said, at Digimon Con, I honestly expect they'll announce some sort of new DLC. Not necessarily like a season pack, but I feel like they've more than hinted that they're going to add at least one more Digimon in some fashion. But I also think that's something you want to announce there. You don't want to do that now. So yeah, I think that was all the questions in chat. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Monodramon, in hope that it gets more merch. Or any merch whatsoever.
And to not get punched by the weird guy.
Please give the poor lizard a radish.
Yeah. I can be found with the will as always. Next week, we should be back to Monday. Thank you everyone for showing up on Sunday. Bit off this week. Let's see. I'm really looking forward to when we see actual photos of those new model kits.
Yes.
Those neat. And I love that
they... Actually, depending on if I get extras, I would want to repaint some of the smaller ones.
Oh yeah, some of those would look neat painted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for showing up. We will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.